the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Welcome to the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. And my, who would have thought I'd be doing back-to-back shows? Who knows, if something happens again, it's going to be back-to-back, possibly tomorrow. You never know. But 48 hours ago, a particular coach said that he plans on returning. But today, this coach and the organization decided to have a mutual parting of ways, but also give him an office position, like a consultant, so to speak. Then we just found out not too long ago that another coach has retired. And the crazy thing is, when I mentioned that last week on a local radio show, it sounded far-fetched, but now it's a reality. Oh, on top of that, today we also have a special guest. I'm looking forward to having my special guest all the way from Manhattan, Kansas, who has also received an offer from Colorado State University, who plays for the Manhattan Indians, by the name of James Dunnigan Jr. So I'm looking forward to that. But right now, let's get into some of these headlines, because, like I said, who would have thought I'd be doing back-to-back shows? But as stuff happens, I'm going to bring it to you. And the Pete Carroll situation. Pete Carroll competed hard to remain Seahawks coach, but agrees to step down GM to lead search. Pete Carroll will not return as head coach of the Seattle Seahawks next season, but will remain with the franchise as an advisor, the team announced on Wednesday. Carroll, who just completed his 14th season with the Seahawks, made it clear at a news conference Wednesday that he would have preferred to return next season as the team's head coach. "I competed pretty hard to be the coach, just so you know." Following season-ending meetings with ownership, it's clear, and for a variety of reasons, we mutually agreed to take a new course, he said. During the news conference that saw the 72-year-old become emotional when thanking his staff and family members, he said he won't be involved in the franchise's search for his replacement, but that general manager, John Schneider, will be involved and spoke highly of his longtime co-worker. Additionally, responsibilities for his new role with the organization had not yet been defined. "It's about the organization being successful and being on course for the long haul of it as well. And I realized that he said, I mean, I'm about as old as you can get in this business, and there's come a time they got to make some decisions. So moving toward the future, if there is some way I can add something to them down the road, we'll see what happens." Carroll continued, "But this is a good move for them. And Johnny's GM, John Schneider, is going to take the bull by the horns and roll.
Carroll guided the franchise to back-to-back Super Bowl appearances in 2013 and 2014, including a victory in Super Bowl. The Seahawks are 137-89-1 and have only finished below 500 three times under Carroll. Pete is the winningest coach in Seahawks history. He brought the city its first Super Bowl title and created a tremendous impact over the past 14 years on the field and in the community. His expertise in leading and building a championship culture will continue as an integral part of our organization moving forward. Pete will always be a beloved member of the Seahawks family, Seahawks chair Jody Allen said in a statement. Following Seattle's 21-20 win against Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, Carroll told reporters he expected to return to the Seahawks. The 72-year-old coach told Seattle Sports on Monday, "I plan to be coaching this team. I love these guys, and that's what I would like to be doing and see how far we can go. I'm not worn out. I'm not tired. I'm not any of that stuff," he said on Wednesday. Those statements were true to the bone. Seattle was eliminated from playoff contention in Week 18 when the Green Bay Packers defeated the Chicago Bears. That marked just the fourth time since Carroll was hired that the Seahawks failed to make the postseason. Seahawks defense under Carroll has been on a steady decline over the last decade. Since 2013, Seattle's ranking in defensive EPA has fallen almost every season. First, third, seventh, seventh, eighth, 15th, 19th, 18th, 22nd, 25th, and 29th this season. Prior to taking the job as Seahawks head coach in 2010, Carroll spent 9 seasons as the head coach at USC. He posted a 97-19 record with the Trojans and won 2 national championships. Before USC, he spent 3 seasons as the head coach of the New England Patriots and a season as head coach of the New York Jets. Is this move surprising? Carroll no longer having the title of head coach is surprising, though the move is not hard to justify. Only 6 teams have higher winning percentages than the Seahawks since he took over the team in 2010. He won a Super Bowl in that span and came within 1 yard of winning another. But Seattle has missed the playoffs in 3 of the last 7 seasons and hasn't won a playoff game since 2019. In that time, Seattle has had high draft picks, made a bunch of win-now trades. Jadeveon Clowney in 2019, Jamal Adams in 2020, and Leonard Williams in 2023. But the team hasn't been able to get over the hump. This year's team had talent but fell well short of its goal, which was championship contention. What's Carroll's legacy? Carroll is the best Seahawks coach in franchise history and is responsible for the team's only Super Bowl victory and 2 of their 3 appearances. He was the architect behind one of the greatest defenses of the modern era and established a culture players love to be in. Many of Carroll's former players still live in the area, communicate with him regularly, and follow the team the way college graduates keep track of their alma mater. Carroll will almost certainly land a spot in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The coach to succeed Carroll will have massive shoes to fill. So there you have the news on Pete Carroll, who just recently said he planned on coaching, but after meetings, they all have decided to part ways. And as you heard in that story, that it was an emotional time for Pete Carroll. I'm sure it was, because his plans was to come back and coach that team, at least give it one more try. I'm pretty sure he wanted to make the decision to go out on his own, but after meetings, like I said, and the fact that he would be given an advisory position, that kind of made the transition. I don't know how smooth it is, but it is what it is. I have a special guest coming up in my next segment. Before I get to the Nick Saban, I do not want to do my guest like that. I want to make sure that my guests get their shine on. So this first segment, Pete Carroll, Coming up next, I'm going to have a special guest on the train. Yes, that's right. It is player profile segment. A young man all the way from Manhattan, Kansas, who has received an offer to play at Colorado State University. Also getting interest from Kansas and Kansas State University. What a way to get the rivalry sparked, competing over a player. And especially if you're from Manhattan and you cross enemy lines and go to Kansas State. Wouldn't that make for an interesting rival? You got on-the-field rival, now you got recruiting rival. So I look forward to having James Dunnigan Jr. on, talk with his father via chat and telephone, and talk about a quick turnaround without saying too much. Got the information on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter. Sent a message, and next you know, I get a call, get a text, and then we get a call, and that's how things happen. So, right place, right time, and I'm very grateful not only to James Dunnigan Jr., but also to his father, Sr., for letting this happen. So, I will be back on the other side of this break, and we will get you ready for the train ride with player profiles. Don't you go nowhere. Stay seated till the ride is over. It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Your host and conductor, Anthony Smith.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the glass man?
Okay, glass man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the glass man.
Okay, glass man.
The glass man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Okay, glass man.
Bring your vehicle to the Glassman just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Welcome in to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast for my next segment, which is player profile. And as I always say, city to city, state to state, coast to coast, we go around picking up passengers. Found this young man on Twitter, well, X, formerly known as Twitter. I'd just be glad when we just say X and just be done with it. Anyway, football player, just received an offer to Colorado State University. In introducing him, he's a rising star in the world of athletics with an impressive skill set and passion for multiple sports. One of the things I found out, he's also a point guard too on the basketball team there in Manhattan. Has already made a name for himself at a young age. Hailing from Kansas, James has proven his worth as a quarterback, corner, safety, and wide receiver, showcasing his adaptability and natural talent. Following in the footsteps of his father, who played cornerback for Kansas State and Purdue University, James carries on the family legacy, excellence in sports. His older brother, Chris Dunnigan, has already achieved great success as a starting outside linebacker, leading his team to a state championship in 2022. Even James's younger brother, Adonis, has made waves as the Junior Olympics national champion in the javelin. So with such a talented family and a track record of achievements, it's clear that James Dunnigan Jr. is destined for greatness, so keep an eye out for this young rising star as he continues to make his mark in the world of sports. So I want to welcome aboard the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, all the way from Manhattan, Kansas, James Dunnigan Jr. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
So the first thing I noticed as I was going through you guys' schedule, because I'm not too far from this particular school, Derby High School. Y'all played them twice. Y'all beat them the first time. I believe the score was 33-19. And in y'all quest to make it to that state championship game, came up just a little bit short. Seeing that y'all played that team twice, what's the one takeaway that you could take away from that game? Because if anybody knows anybody, you guys know Derby, and Derby know you guys. What was one of the takeaways from that game?
I think the biggest takeaway from the second game is we had one of our safeties down. He was a big role. He was a big player for us. He was starting for 2 years, Max Standard. And so we didn't have him. We had to move around a little bit. And then I ended up getting hurt in the second quarter of the game. And then we had a lot of new people who hadn't played the position. And that tight end really took over the game from there.
All right. Now, you have lettered for how many years? This is your senior year, if I'm correct, right?
No, this is my sophomore
year. Your sophomore year. All right, so you're already garnering attention. So by the time you hit your senior year, there's no telling how many offers you'll get. So at what age did you start playing football, and at what age did you figure out that this was going to be your go-to sport?
So I've been playing football since I was 5. I've always grown up around the sport, and my dad played corner for K-State, as you said, and Purdue. I've always had like a deep love for it. I've always grown up around it, watched it on TV. And I guess I've always taken it serious, going out and training ever since I was like 6 with my dad. So I guess it's just always been my number one priority to make a D1 and possibly further to the NFL.
And I'm pretty sure having siblings around, like brothers, I'm pretty sure y'all have some intense battles, as they call it, sibling rivalries in a good way. I'm pretty sure y'all have a basketball goal set up in the driveway or somewhere close by. What are those battles like?
Of course, of course. Yes, sir. It's fun. I mean, normally I come out on top, you know. I'm the best basketball player, so.
So you say you're the best basketball player. Now, would your brothers agree with that, or would there be some pushback?
My little brother would not agree probably, but, you know, deep down he knows it.
All right. So tell me something about the Manhattan football program, because, like I said, you received the offers already. You're starting to get offers at a, I would say, fairly young age, and sure. Also getting some interest from KU, K-State, which would automatically spark rivalry. What is that Manhattan culture like, and what does it teach you as far as football and as far as being a man?
The MHS program is very great for athletes. I mean, you know, we're always working hard and we're never satisfied. So I feel like that really gets installed in you, being in the weight room early in the morning, not making excuses, things like that, as well as just the school in general. Like, your grades are important and all that stuff goes into account and to how you mature into a man.
And speaking of grades, as I was looking on X, I noticed you posted your grade point average. Like, you just like shy of a 4-point grade point average, giving a true meaning to the name student athlete, with the emphasis on student, because, you know, you always hear the statistics of those who actually make it on to the next level, you know, going to college, going to the NFL, but how, as much as you see players make it to the NFL, percentage is still low of who actually makes it. So as a young man with such a good grade point average, explain the importance of a good education.
I think it's very important because, you know, as pros would tell you, sports are not always going to be around forever. So, you know, I think it's very important to have some sort of education.
Absolutely. So your football coach, tell us a little bit about him and what kind of impact does he play in your life as well, too?
So Coach Sharks is a very good mentor for me, and not only me, but my teammates. Every time we come in there, you know, we have a workout on the board. He gets us lined up, is very organized. But also, if I ever need to talk about anything, I can go in there and talk to him about it, you know. And it's just always good to have a talk with him.
Absolutely. So now, you are a sophomore, as stated. Who are some of the upperclassmen that
you looked up to on the team that have actually taken you under their wing? And who are some names that we should be looking out for that may be going to the next level?
Yeah, so like I said before, Max Standard, he's a safety on the team. Ian McNabb, he was also an outside linebacker. My older brother, Chris. And I would say Charles Morgan, the running back, a few names.
So yeah. These are names that we could possibly be saying, hey, that young man played at Manhattan High School playing for this college team. Now I want to kind of stir the pot a little bit because you also receive an interest from KU, K-State. Now you're in Manhattan, so we automatically know that's pretty much Wildcat country. But if it came down to it, and let's say you are a senior right now, I know Colorado State's in the mix, but you're looking at your in-state program, nationally known. You have KU on the rise and seem like getting better. As a matter of fact, one of their incoming freshmen played in the All-American game here just recently, and they got a pretty good recruiting class. If you had to pick today, and I know this is kind of like putting you on the spot. Now, if you want to say you plead the fifth, I understand. But if you had to pick the day, if Chris Klieman and Lance Leipold is sitting in your front room and they said you have to choose today, who would you choose?
Well, you know, I'd have to get to know the coaching staff more to be able to make a decision. So I will plead the fifth on that, but it's a good question.
And I appreciate that answer because before you make a decision like that, and that speaks volumes of your maturity at such a young age that you would have to get to know the coaching staff. You would have to take those visits to campus, get to know the players that you could possibly be playing with. Are they like family or are they just a bunch of guys that just come and show up and care less? Because even as polarizing as a coach prime is, there was a player from Michigan State who decided he was going to honor his commitment to Michigan State because he said he felt like it was too much celebrityism going on and a lot of activities that didn't cater to him being recruited. So the answer you gave speaks volume of your maturity level. So I want to say that is to be commended and also commend your parents as being good parents as well too. So everybody gets a little bit shine on.
Yes, sir.
So what is your favorite position? Because you play multiple positions and you're also point guard as well too. Which sport do you prefer over the other, football or basketball? And which one do you see being your bread and butter?
So I prefer football and the positions. I don't think I have one specific favorite position, but if I had to choose one on offense, one on defense, I would say wide receiver and cornerback.
Wide receiver and cornerback. How ironic, because the cornerback's position is to keep the wide receiver from catching the ball. And the wide receiver's position is to pretty much outduel anybody in the defensive backfield and hopefully make ESPN's You Got Mossed.
Sure.
So have you ever had one of those moments where someone said, hey, you just mossed him?
Of course. A couple of times, I would say.
So what's the greatest satisfaction? Getting that game-winning catch or being that lockdown defender that prevents the other team from scoring? Which is your most satisfying moment?
Catching the game-winning touchdown would be more satisfying.
And you would even take that over pick six, right?
Ooh, a pick six in the game? I don't know if I would take that over a pick six in the game. Nah, I'd take the pick six instead.
All right. Well, I'm not going to keep you there much more longer. But I am going to be keeping an eye on you throughout the years to come to see where this goes from here. But I want to thank you personally on the short notice because, like I said, I just seen your information on X. And I said, I need to reach out to this young man and have you on. As a matter of fact, you would be my first person this year on Player Spotlight. So I want to thank you for the time. I also want to thank your dad for allowing this to happen. I want to say I believe that you have a good dad in the household who looks after your best interests. So much thanks to him for allowing this to take place. And I want to say to you, I believe you guys are the Manhattan Indians, right?
Yes, sir.
Good luck to the Indians in the years to come. Good luck to you. God's blessings to you over the next few years. And this is our first time, but hopefully it won't be our last time on the train ride. So until the next time, you take care. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, my special guest, all the way from Manhattan, Kansas, playing for the Manhattan Indians, multiple positions, a bona fide athlete, one Mr. Dunnigan. First name slipped my mind. James J.J. Dunnigan Jr. So once again, thank you for being on the show.
And thank you again.
Once again, my special guest on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, James Dunnigan Jr., all the way from Manhattan, Kansas. Great to have him on Train Ride. So what I'm going to do right here, because there is so much going on, I am going to get into this Nick Saban story, but it's going to be after I take this break. So don't you go nowhere. The train is still building up ahead of steam. So come back after this break. We're going to talk about Nick Saban.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Your host, your conductor, Anthony Smith. Enjoy the player spotlight with James Dunnigan Jr., all the way from Manhattan, Kansas. Just a sophomore, already receiving offers and already receiving interest. Just a sophomore, so he has yet, in my opinion, to even reach his ceiling. He can only get higher and higher. As a matter of fact, sometimes when we say they haven't reached their ceiling, I want to say that the sky is the limit. And I can tell that he has a humble head on his shoulder. He's very studious in the classroom by looking at his grade point average, who already knows the importance and value of a good education. So that's a testament to his dedication, having his priorities straight, and also coming from good parents. You have to include it all in the same, because when these young people, when they're doing bad, we want to talk about them, we want to put them in the grave, we want to put them in jail. But when they're doing it like he is, and I emphasize the grade point average, you know, that barely gets talked about. So as long as I know something like that, it's going to be talked about on my podcast. They will be featured on my podcast, because we need to, as Deion would say, put the shine on these young men that are doing it, not just on the field, but doing it in the classroom. So once again, young man, I want to thank you, and you deserve this applause right here. Moving right along now, there is some more breaking news that took place today. We heard about Pete Carroll, talked about that in my first segment. Now, to close out the show, there's another eye-opening announcement that took place. Alabama coach Nick Saban, 72, has decided to retire, ending a run that ranks among the greatest in college football. I mean, if you stop and think about it, the Mount Rushmore of college football, two names that are going to be synonymous, both from Alabama, Coach Paul Bear Bryant and now Nick Saban. And to think that the long run that Nick Saban has had, the multiple championships that he has had, and to even navigate through transfer portal and NIL. In other words, he's been there, done it all, seen it all. But it's entering a run that ranks among the greatest in college football history. According to 24/7 Sports' Matt Zenith, the seven-time national championship, look at that, the seven-time national championship winning coach leaves the game having spent his last 17 seasons with the Crimson Tide. Saban informed the Tide of his decision in a team meeting Wednesday, according to ESPN's Chris Lowe, who first reported the retirement. Alabama was eliminated in the 2023 college football playoff semifinal, ending its season with a 27-20 overtime loss to eventual national champion Michigan in the Rose Bowl. Saban's seven national titles, one at LSU in 2003 and six at Alabama, 2009, 2011, 2012, 2015, 2017, 2020. The latter total matching legendary Tide coach Paul Bear Bryant stand as the most in the sport's history. He is the only coach to win a national championship across three decades, as well as the only coach since the inception of the AP Top 25 in 1936 to win national championships with two separate FBS programs. Saban, known for his stern coaching style and confident yet fiery approach, also won 11 SEC championships, two at LSU 2001 and 2003, and nine at Alabama 2009, 2012, 2014 through 16, 2018, 2020, 21, and 2023, making him the only coach other than Bryant to win SEC titles at two different schools. Alabama won 10 plus games and finished among the top 10 of the AP Top 25 across each of the final 16 seasons of Saban's career. The Tide have appeared in the AP Top 25 for 260 consecutive weeks since the start of the 2008 season. His 292 wins, most among active coaches this past season, across a career that included stops leading Toledo 1990, Michigan State 1995-99, LSU 2000-2004, and Alabama 2007-23, rank him as the 15th winningest coach in the game's history. His career college record stands at 292-71-1, with his .806 winning percentage ranking him 16th among coaches who led programs for a minimum of 10 seasons. In the 10-year history of the CFP, Alabama's eight appearances are the most of any school. Saban coached four Heisman Trophy winners while leading the Crimson Tide: Mark Ingram II, 2009, Derrick Henry, 2015, Devontae Smith, 2020, and Bryce Young, 2021. And he holds a record, having coached
49 first-round NFL draft picks in his career. Saban was hired by Alabama in 2007 to reverse the fortunes of one of college football's most storied and successful programs, which won its last national title in 1992. The transformative nature of the Tide's run under Saban, particularly Pete, which saw them capture those six national titles in a 12-year span from 2009 to 20, established a new standard of excellence that the rest of the nation was forced to chase. Some programs tried to adapt by hiring Saban's assistants to lead their teams, while others simply copied Saban's blueprint for how to staff, evaluate, recruit, and run a modern college football program. Saban's time in football extended beyond the college ranks into the NFL. His season at Toledo led to Saban joining Bill Belichick's staff as defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns from 1991 to 94. After stints at Michigan State and LSU, the latter of which included his first national championship, Saban accepted the head coaching position with the Miami Dolphins. He spent 2 years with the Dolphins, amassing a 15-17 record in Miami before deciding the college game suited him best. A former high school quarterback out of West Virginia, Saban played defensive back at Kent State 1970-72 before beginning his coaching career at his alma mater. He later made stops as a position coach, always on defense, at Syracuse 1977, West Virginia 1978-79, Ohio State 1980-81, Navy 1982, Michigan State 1983-87, and with the Houston Oilers 1988-89. As of right now, Alabama has yet to announce Saban's retirement, but this is breaking news, the fact that we're talking about Nick Saban retiring. So now the questions are going to be, who replaces Nick Saban? It's a very attractive program, but some big shoes to fill. Mind you, it took them some years before, between Bear Bryant and Saban, which would tell me that as attractive as this job, no one wants to be the one to come up after such a legend. The question is, whose name, what names do they have on the list? As I followed college football and the coaching carousels that take place, people have always speculated that there are some coaches at top-notch programs that would make sense. One of the names I've heard not too long ago, or maybe a few years ago, Dabo Sweeney. But there's also another disciple of Saban, coached against him, won conference titles, even went to win a national championship, back-to-back championships, and was trying to three-peat. Kirby Smart. Question is, would Kirby Smart leave Georgia to go back to Alabama? Especially having established his own identity and putting his own stamp on that program. Would Dabo Sweeney be willing to leave Clemson, especially knowing the state of the ACC, not knowing if this realignment is done yet, not knowing if they will, some teams from that conference will get plucked, or some teams from that conference will decide to say, hey, let's go here. Would it make sense for Dabo Sweeney to leave Clemson behind and go to Alabama? Why am I floating these names around? Because these are people that, these are names that people have mentioned. But the news is that of one Nick Saban calling it quits. And what's so ironic about this, because I called into a local radio station here, I'm in Wichita, Kansas, to those of you who may be listening elsewhere, and
only reason I mentioned it then, because I seen something, I don't know what site it was on, but it said Nick Saban to step down at the end of this year. And this was shortly after they lost to Michigan. And I didn't pay it no mind, but I kept it in mind. So when I threw it out on the radio station, it was basically rejected as if it was Dikembe Mutombo blocking the shot, saying, "Not in my house." And now here we are a week and a few days later, and we're talking about Nick Saban no more. So who, that's the, because that is the question that, as we're getting this news that he is retired, the question is, who replaces Nick Saban at Alabama? So as we are breaking this story, who will replace Nick Saban? There are five candidates that Alabama should consider. Nick Saban's replacement at Alabama will be expected to win national championships, and note the plural, indicating multiple, not just one. Best of luck to the Crimson Tide's future coach. But the successor of the greatest coach in college football history, I would say that's a toss-up between him and Bear Bryant. That's for Alabama fans to fight over. Don't be surprised if there's a chat room, kind of like Dak Prescott versus Tony Romo. Only difference is, just have a little bit more cachet. Bear Bryant versus Nick Saban. That's a good debate to have. Who's the best coach in Alabama history? Would it be Saban? Would it be Bear Bryant? You Alabama fans can figure that one out. But the successor of the greatest coach in college football history will inherit a powerhouse program that, even during a so-called down year, relatively speaking, managed to snap Georgia's long winning streak, win the SEC, and reach the college football playoff. Crimson Tide also came within a snap of beating eventual national champion Michigan in the Rose Bowl. Search will focus on coaches who can fulfill three non-negotiable factors. He must be an experienced bowl subdivision coach, and in the Power Five in particular. This is obvious. He must have won or played for national championships, or at least have a familiarity with how championship teams or programs are built. Sounds like they are targeting Kirby Smart or Dabo Swinney. So don't look for an up-and-coming coach who has exceeded expectations at a lower resource program. And he must have the personality to thrive in Alabama spotlight. There aren't many coaches built to succeed in this environment. The coming days will bring clarity to this search. For now, though, here are five current Power Five coaches on Alabama's radar. And look here. Before I even opened up this article, first name that pops up: Dabo Swinney, Clemson. The Alabama graduate has been linked to this potential opening since transforming Clemson into a national power. That the Tigers beat Alabama twice in the playoff championship game is enough to prove Swinney's credentials. That he's hit on a rougher patch the last handful of seasons might be something Alabama considers, though the broader resume ranks among the best of this generation of coaches. Swinney has spoken of his love for the program in the past, but always deflected the question about his future. He'll need to give an answer. Lane Kiffin, Mississippi. Kiffin is the most likely member of Saban's coaching tree to rank near the top of Alabama's board. He's rebuilt his reputation with the Rebels after earning another chance, thanks in large part to his stint as Alabama's offensive coordinator
when he helped install the scheme that yielded multiple national championships in the playoff era. Kiffin has built something special with the Rebels, but would take over a program with substantially more resources and a greater opportunity to dominate the SEC. Kiffin has the offensive mind and personality to thrive in the position. Dan Lanning, Oregon. Lanning has SEC experience as a graduate assistant at Alabama and as the defensive coordinator under Kirby Smart at Georgia. Since taking over at Oregon, he's constructed a team that blends cutting-edge offensive philosophies with nearly unmatched physicality. The 37-year-old Lanning might top Alabama's board for multiple reasons. He's composed, he's young, he's hungry, and he has the defensive pedigree to maintain Saban's standard on that side of the ball. He's also showed the ability to recruit some of the best players in the country. Kalen DeBoer, Washington. DeBoer's stock is exploding after Washington reached the championship game before losing to Michigan. Across two seasons, he's turned the Huskies' offense into one of the nation's best and been particularly successful against ranked teams, speaking to a Saban-like ability to evaluate and prepare for the best teams on his team schedule. Unlike others, however, DeBoer has no experience in the SEC or in the Southeast. That won't be a non-starter for the Tide, but it could be the difference between DeBoer and another candidate. Mike Norvell, Florida State. Norvell took over another historic powerhouse in Florida State, and within four seasons had the Seminoles atop ACC and on the doorstep of college football playoff. Given that FSU came up short of the top four and given uncertainty around the program's relationship with the ACC, Norvell might not be difficult to pull away should Alabama be willing to pay the buyout. Norvell will keep Alabama's recruiting machine rolling and bring a new mindset to the offense. So there are five candidates. Notice there was one name that wasn't on there? There's probably a good reason that you didn't hear that name called, because that's probably not even an option. But that's the news. No more Nick Saban. Who will be the replacement? Is there a name on the list that I didn't mention that you may think is worthy of being on that list that Alabama should be looking for? I cherish all comments, and I ask you to, in particular, please answer the poll question. This is the year I want to interact with as many people as possible, make new friends, whatever the case may be, new guests. This year that the train is definitely going to build up a head of steam and go in unforeseen directions. Once again, as if I can't say it enough, I want to thank my special guest all the way from Manhattan, and especially on short notice, James Dunnick Jr., for being on the train ride, for trusting me to have a safe ride on the train. Once again, I want to thank his dad for letting this happen, James Sr. I am forever indebted to you guys. And once again, good luck, Manhattan. Good luck, James, on your future endeavors, whether it be on the gridiron, and most importantly, in the classroom. Until the next time, take care of yourself and each other. This has been another edition of the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast with your host and conductor of the number one podcast in the state of Kansas, Anthony Smith. I'm out.